bring in our Sportsnet Canucks insider, Mr. Ian McIntyre, on this Thursday morning. Good morning, sir.
Maybe Russell Wilson could play for the Canucks.
Couldn't hurt.
Yeah,
couldn't
probably.
Hurt.
Probably not.
Well, you know what? Hey, I like his compete. Speaking of compete, JT Miller.
You know what I like about Russell Wilson? I like that he finds a way to win.
He does.
Yes.
You know, all those games where he has pulled Seattle out of the fire, not quite on his own. But
they could use a closer here in Vancouver, if there's such a thing in the NHL, a closer.
Yeah, no
but
kidding.
JT Miller's been the focus of the story of the last 24 hours, and I really thought that Travis Green went into deep detail in terms of defending his player. I think JT Miller was very defiant in terms of, hey, man, I don't want to lose. You know, we've talked about this over the last couple hours this morning, Ian, but Is JT Miller not taking a little too much criticism for the way that this team has struggled this year?
I think he's kind of the lightning rod. And, you know, the lightning rod always gets more than his share. But he is, I don't think his importance to the team and his impact is overstated. You know, he is a tremendous player, as we know. But he's also an influential player. And when the team is struggling like it has, and there are so many young players on that team who haven't been through this before, you look to your leadership. And I think that's why there's so much more scrutiny on JT Miller than some others, because his leadership is so overt. And not always in a bad way. You know, emotion, that edge that he talked about playing with, I mean, that's great when it's positive and when it's followed by good results. But when the team is losing and, you know, his body language at times is negative on the ice and his frustration is obvious, and all players are frustrated, but, you know, we all get frustrated in our jobs, but it's better if you're able to handle that frustration or manage that frustration. And at times he has trouble managing that frustration. So in answer to your question, yeah, he gets a lot of attention, but he is, you know, a big issue with the team.
Travis Green mentioned that maybe as a coach he has to help. Was that Travis acknowledging that maybe the expectations of Miller being that leader, which would be completely new to him, it will take some more time, as to you said, to understand that you're being watched by not a fan base, but everybody in the room, too.
Yeah, I think it's Travis trying to help his player and take some of the responsibility for how poorly things have gone recently. And Travis, you know, he's the coach. He should have some responsibility for how things have gone. What I found really interesting yesterday about what Travis had to say, and Travis did defend him, and, you know, everyone's probably heard or seen the quotes about, you know, it was a good trade and every team would love to have him. I love having him on my team. And I'm not going to rip on JT Miller. What's interesting about that is he's saying this on the day that Miller has been put to the third line for practice. Mm-hmm. And the day after, Travis Green said following the game that certain individuals weren't good enough tonight. And he didn't name them, but, you know, we can surmise that one of them must have been JT Miller. And so, in a way, he's defending him at a time where he's also putting him in the spotlight for having not played well enough. And it's an interesting move for a coach to do, because he's trying to get more out of his player, yet he's also defending him. And not, you know, I hate the cliche, throwing him under the bus, but not simply throwing him under the bus. And he did the same thing, Travis, with the Lotto line and his power play last week. Remember, I can't remember which game, but remember he said about his power play, they weren't sharp tonight. They were too much on the outside. They need to be better. And that was the game they actually were credited with two power play goals. And then the next day, or maybe it was 2 days later, he talked about how great that first unit has been and that they've been getting looks. And so Travis, you know, there's some vinegar, but then it's always followed by some sugar. And it's an interesting example of coaching where you're trying to push some buttons and get players to be better, yet at the same time you're showing publicly that you're on their side and that it's not only about them, it's about you and it's about other things. So a little coaching clinic by Travis in those instances.
He's gone with a situation that he has given the guys tough love when needed, but he's also been smart not to lean too hard on that, right? Like, you know, the other night was about as candid as he was in terms of how emotional a loss it was after the Oilers and to blow the 3-goal lead. But, you know, yesterday, I mean, the defense that he had for his guys, I mean, that was noticeable out there.
Yeah, and we should remember in all this that Travis has been put in a really difficult position here. You know, to go into the season without a contract, and we won't rehash the issues surrounding that again, but to go into the season without a contract after the 3 years that he had before that, where he helped build the team up, put him in a tenuous position. Then it's an absolutely worst-case scenario to have the start that the team has had. So now Travis not only has no security, but he's got no hope of getting a contract extension anytime soon. And yet he has to do some of his toughest coaching, most demanding coaching, where he is critical in certain ways of his top players. And he's got to do that without the safety net of a long-term extension. And, you know, that's tough for a coach. You know, that's a tough balancing act to coach in adverse circumstances without any security and still trying to maintain the buy-in and have the hammer over players. It's tough right now.
Well, and certainly in the last 24 hours, Ian, with what happened in Montreal,
yeah,
has shifted, you know, the fan base to go, hang on here. I was always of the mindset that Travis Green is okay because this is an anomaly of a year and it'll take some time. It doesn't matter what I think or what you think, but do you think maybe ownership is maybe wondering if it could be a, you know, just clean house as far as management and coaching is concerned if things don't get righted at some point during this shortened season?
Yeah, but we don't know what the owner really thinks.
Well, we saw
his statement a couple of weeks ago, which I thought, you know, whether you agree or disagree with the sentiment of supporting Benning and Green, and a lot of people do disagree with that, I thought the actual statement was as on point and direct and clear as anything that the owner has done. And I thought it was, at that time, that clarity was important. Now, has Aquilini's feelings changed? Well, only he knows that. Only he knows that. But, you know, I said then, and I'm sticking to it now, I think those decisions are just better made at the end of this season. I don't think, you know, let's use Montreal, for example. So what did they do? First of all, they fired a coach who 2 weeks ago was probably an early favorite for the Jack Adams Trophy. So things move quickly. But they replaced him internally, and they're hoping for a bounce, right? A new energy or whatever it was Bergevin was saying. So, you know, what's the Canucks equivalent to that? Like if you did fire the coach now, you know, you're going to promote Nolan Baumgartner? Well, probably not, because he's so tied to Travis. Mm-hmm. And again, So if you're not promoting within, how are you going to get a coach? Like, who's available during the pandemic? And what about the border if you're bringing someone from the States? And so that's, you know, I know I'm talking about sort of logistical things. But
it's real. But it's legit,
yes,
right?
It is
the problem.
Real. And, yeah. And that's why I think that whatever happens, it's better to let this season play out. Make your decisions at the end of the year when you have time and space and full lists of options. You know what your options are. Right now you don't know who your options are if you want to make a change. So, but whether the owner feels that way or not, only Francesco Aquilini could tell you. I don't think he's doing interviews. It'd be great if he did.
Mm. Would be the time.
Probably be on your show.
No, they'd put him on Reach Deep.
Rivalry.
Yes.
Listen, is the record is
I can
what the record
you guys
is.
Does, playing beach volleyball against each other.
That's
your
the
show
producer,
versus
the,
Reach Deep. It, little
it's
top
the
produ- gun.
It's the producers, man. The producers, they're all competitive, trying to chase the guests.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is this team as bad as their record?
No, of course not. But, right, you know, you are what your record is. They have to own it. I can't recall a spell like this, honestly. I've covered some really good Canuck teams. I've obviously covered some bad ones as well. But I don't remember a time where, in terms of how they're playing, they were getting less out of their performances than what they're getting these last eight games. I mean, they, for the most part, and Travis was down on his team's performance last game. It wasn't just because they blew the 3-goal lead. He didn't think they were as good as it had been the previous seven. But the fact is, they still had a 3-goal lead. But, you know, they're out playing teams, and they should be outscoring them, and yet they're still losing pretty consistently. So something obviously is amiss, but not so much has changed from last season that it explains where they are in the standings this season. I think really the issue right now is as much mental as it is physical, because physically, the way they're playing for large stretches of these games, they're playing better than their opponents. And it's now been a variety of opponents. It's not just, you know, they're not just trying to make up ground by beating up Ottawa here like they did at the end of January. And yet, at critical moments, they fail and they find ways to lose games. So to me, that's more about, you know, mental strength and confidence and belief in yourself than it is about, you know, lack of talent or anything like that. You know, I don't know that they're a playoff team. Yeah, no. Under, you know, even if they were playing better, I'm not suggesting that they should, you know, they're a championship team or anything, but are they as bad as their record? No, they're not as bad as their record. They should be better than this.
It's been a strange year. You never know what you get, except, you know, enjoy the first period because they always play well. Thank you, IMAC. Enjoy the game.
Oh, well, I will, and I have no idea what I'm going to see. Mm-hmm. So there's an element of surprise to it, as there has been since, 12 months ago.
Magical mystery tour, the Vancouver Canucks in 2021. Thank you, pal.
See you guys.